Blog Talk Radio.
He was a famous trumpet man from out Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was the top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a blowing reveille. He's the boogie-woogie bugle boy of Company B.
Libertarian Politics Live is on the air. Libertarian Politics Live is brought to you by the Libertarian Defense Caucus with your co-host, Andre Controversa Traversa. And now, here's your host, Eric, the attack dog, Don Darrow.
Thank you so much, Johnny Ringo. This is Eric, attack dog, Don Darrow, coming to you from beautiful southern sunny California. Andre is off tonight up in Chicago, our regular co-host. He's on special assignment. But we have our sub-host, our official sub-host for the show, Bruce Cohen from the Los Angeles area. He's going to be with us here in a moment. We're going to have a off-format show tonight. We usually do not have a guest for the whole hour, but this is such a hot topic. We are going to devote the entire hour tonight to the discussion of the Libertarian Party, specifically the Libertarian Party of California and a lot of battles they've been having going on and what the internal politics are. And we're going to turn it over to Bruce here in a second to introduce our guest. We have a very special guest. But one announcement, Wednesday night, y'all need to tune in because we're going to have one of the biggest guests we've ever had on Blog Talk Radio, Libertarian Politics Live. That's right. Jim Gilchrist of the Minutemen Project is going to be our guest Wednesday night. Bruce is going to explain all that to y'all and give you the times. So it's going to be one of the biggest guests we've ever had. We want y'all to tune in and certainly call into the show. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Bruce. But before I do, just a little plug for the website. It's www.mainstreamlibertarian.com. That's mainstreamlibertarian.com. Right now up on the website, we have a big article about General Tommy Franks being considered as a possible vice presidential candidate on the Republican ticket. They don't know if it's it could be Rudy Giuliani, could be Fred Thompson, could be John McCain, but apparently three presidential campaigns are actively soliciting General Tommy Franks as a running mate. We're very excited about that. We also have up on the website news about Ted Nugent, our great libertarian running for governor up in Michigan. And a big announcement for all you Rudy libertarians out there. This morning on Fox News, a quote-unquote libertarian Democrat, Tammy Bruce, nationally syndicated talk show host, publicly endorsed Rudy Giuliani. That's right. She called herself a quote-unquote Rudy Giuliani girl. And she's a Democrat. So looks like Rudy's getting a lot of crossover support. So one last news item. This Larry Craig incident has turned out to benefit libertarians because it looks like our great libertarian governor up in the great state of Idaho, Butch Otter, may appoint a libertarian Republican to fill the Senate seat. They're looking at Congressman Bill Sally as the replacement for Larry Craig. So let's keep our fingers crossed. And with that, I'm going to turn the show over to Bruce Cohen of Los Angeles, California. Bruce, are you there?
Yeah, hey, thanks, Eric. And welcome, everybody, to Blog Talk Radio's Top 10 Internet Non-Terrestrial Radio Show, Libertarian Politics Live, normally hosted by the Matt Drudge of the Libertarian Movement. That's right. If you want the Libertarian Drudge Report, you have to go to Eric Dondero's website, Mainstream Libertarian. We do have a very, very special guest today, and we're going to get to her right away. Immediately after, we have a plug for one of our special sponsors. I want to talk to you about health insurance today. You must have health insurance. If you're not covered, you're at risk, and libertarians believe in personal responsibility. Well, we have a wonderful libertarian-owned, libertarian-style insurance company called Green Sky Insurance Services, and their website is greensky.com. What could be easier to remember? And their phone number is 800-550-0155. They save me more than $200 a month on my insurance policy. Full coverage, great insurance policy. I'm really excited about it. If you can be excited about something like insurance, Rick Bronstein will answer your phone personally, or you can just fill out a form and get a quote right off his website at greensky.com, or call him. Call Rick at 800-550-0155. Get insured. If you're driving, if you're skydiving, or if you just break something or get sick, you want to be covered. You don't want to come out of pocket. And certainly no self-respecting libertarian would ever let the government pay for their medical bill. And, yeah, definitely call Green Sky Insurance. And now for our very, very extra special guest, I am so excited to bring on our very own Angela Keaton. Angela, are you there?
Oh, I'm here.
Well, that's really fantastic. I am so glad to have you on. And I first met you at the Atlanta Libertarian Party Convention, and then we got to spend a little more time together at the Cruz Convention. That was a really fun convention. Well, didn't you have a great time with all the great food and service? And,
it was not just the great food. I'll tell you what was great about that cruise. Now that I'm no longer ED, I can say things like this. How easy it was to buy drugs.
I don't want to know
about
that.
Oh, no, you don't want to know. Let me tell you something. I had an amazing experiences because of that. And, you can't make that a selling point during a meeting. Like, you know, why this is a good thing. But, yeah,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
now
so
we know why people call you a radical. I don't know if you're joking and just trying to get a rise out of me or you're serious, but either way, you are the best. You're super fun. So you and I disagree on a lot of stuff, don't we?
We do, but I'm doing this show for you because I like you. Because otherwise, yeah, I hate being interviewed. And being on the air, apart from when I'm not asking ridiculous questions about, you know, hypotheticals to presidential candidates, I get mic fright. So for me, this is a big deal.
Oh, well, good. Well, hopefully, we'll get rid of that. I don't have mic fright. I have a face made for radio, so I'm pretty comfortable on radio. I do a lot of radio, LA radio, and this is my second time actually hosting and not being a guest. So, you know, I'll be gentle on me. I'm the virgin here, not you. So Angela, but you know, while we disagree on policy and a couple of things here and there, I mean, both of us agree that it's really important for libertarians to be a team. And to, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but to work on the big picture, and as Brian Holt says, pull on the rope together as long as we're moving in the same direction. Don't you think so?
Well, there's definitely some of that. I generally don't. This is my general life policy toward this. In terms of ideological differences, if a person in the LP is productive, it isn't like actively trying to hit me against the wall to take his position, I generally never have any problems with that person. So for me, whatever reasons people have in the LP, whether it's for fellowship, it's a consumption expense for yay, I'm going to do something for liberty, they really think they can make a difference, one dog catcher time, whatever that reason is, it's fine, I can support that. I don't have as many hang-ups about the greater metaphysical purpose about being in the LP. And there's also, too, I can enjoy a wide range of people's company. Like, for those of us who have like a more varied group of political friends, I'm used to getting along with people who are very, very different, but there's the, you know, narcissism of the small differences. So it's easy for me to like, oh, I want to pick on Brian Holt because of the few things that we're different on. Or maybe it is a substantial difference, but that's a different philosophical question for another time. You know, there may be substantive differences.
So you don't disown your friends because they're not exactly the same as you on your particular brand of libertarianism, huh?
I even have evangelical Christian friends, Bruce.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I'm one of those kind of people. I'm
you
okay
are
that.
An open-minded person. Well, you know, I know that you are pretty darn popular with a lot of libertarians. There's several libertarians that we both know that have you as a pinup. And I wanted to mention your two websites, by the way, to thank you for coming on. One is AngelaKeaton.com, and the other one is LiberatedSpace.com. Is that correct?
Yes, all exercises in self-promotion for my radio shows.
We like that. We like self-promotion.
That's all it is.
We promote our brand.
My part. I'm just basically reminding people that I have a radio show, and which I do enjoy. I enjoy asking the questions. It's a wonderful way for me to pretend like I still am doing my old job, A, but B, it's a great way for someone who is as introverted as I am to talk to people about the things I'd want to talk to them about at cocktail parties, but would be too shy to ask.
Right, right.
So it works out really well.
Let's talk about your experience as executive director, and for those people who heard Angela say that she used to be ED, Angela is definitely was born a woman, and that doesn't mean anything to do with Viagra. She was our executive director. How long were you executive director for now, Angela?
From November 15th of last year until, I think, July 31st of this year. I think that's roughly the date.
It wasn't really a long run. Now, originally, we took you on to fill an empty slot. You had some really nice administrative skills and office management skills and fundraising experience, and it seemed like a nice natural fit. And I'm saying we because I was on the Libertarian Party of California Board of Directors at that time. We were all hoping that it would work out. I know that the day that we hired you, that was a little bit rough of a day, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know how much background you want to know that kind of leads up to my larger critical failings.
We only got an hour, so okay. we'll just hit the high points that's relevant to our listeners.
Yeah, sure. Generally speaking, I came. What had happened, and this is important. Dave Ruprecht, the prior ED, he's an actor. He's fairly well known. If you do a little wiki, and you'll probably have seen him on several TV shows. He had opportunity to host the Price is Right Live in Atlantic City and took some leave, and it actually ended up being several months. So when I took the job over, there was a lot of work that had to be done. There's also, from a nonprofit perspective, and a nonprofit's one way to run it. I'm not wedded to any particular structural way of putting together a political party. But there's certain procedures, there's certain kinds of software used, there's certain understood functions of the office. And at that time, it was very, very difficult to really establish that. And there were lots of reasons. There's lots of acrimony on that particular executive committee. And part of it was too because I had been recruited to run for the board, but I didn't investigate all the facts, and I was too quick to listen to gossip, and I was way
That's
too.
That's right. Now you had to resign your position.
Yeah.
As a board member, one of our rare, it's rare that we have folks that are competent. It's rare that we have people that want to work. And I know, a little bit of negative, but it's rare that we have a girl, and it's really neat to explode that myth that it's a boys' club. In fact, one of my favorite libertarian candidates, Andy Faber of Orange County, California, he who got, I think it was almost exactly 30% in a state assembly race.
He did very well.
he pointed out to me when we were out petitioning for signatures to get ballot qualified, he pointed out to me that there are actually more registered female libertarians. It's just that we don't usually get them involved. They register to vote as libertarians because they believe what you and I believe, but for whatever reason, and we can talk about that later.
That's
so it's great to have you on the board, and it was sort of a loss on one hand and then a gain on the other hand, and I was never sure which way we were better off. So you had a pretty good run. I mean, you really picked up with where Dave left off. Now, how was your impression with Dave? Did he treat you well? Did he do a good transition with you?
Dave's a very very sweet, warm, and wonderful person. So I mean that really wasn't the transition issues weren't. I mean there were things that probably needed to. I mean a lot of this stems back to state parties' functions and their offices had to change post UMP, the Unified Membership Plan.
That's something that none of us could have could change or do anything about.
Right.
That's just the sun rising.
Kind of structures things. I mean these are all. I mean there's like oh God, not to sound like in the leftist tool next door, but there were certain root causes to why state affiliates were having troubles post-UMP. One was that we tend to draw on the LP, and this is different from the rest of the movement, but we very narrowly draw our people from the computer, the computer technology sector, the engineering world.
Yeah.
It's a very narrow group. It's a certain kind of white male and a certain kind of demographic, and it's very narrow. And most of these people, and God bless them, they do amazing work. However, they spend most of their lives working in cubicles or as, quote, consultants.
Like the rest of us. Hey, Angela, we're coming up on a hard break. So I was going to transition to asking you about Aaron Starr, the chair at the time you were hired, the immediate past chair. So that we'll talk about that. But right now I wanted to go to a real quick commercial break. And I wanted to talk to you about long-distance phone service. And if you're paying too much for your long-distance phone service. It's about time you change to Economy Telecom. Now, Economy Telecom is owned by internationally respected tax fighter Richard Rider, who has saved everybody that lives in California money, and especially those people who live in San Diego. He's one of the first people to wake us up to the looming pension crisis. And one of the things that he does when he's not being a libertarian is he saves people money on their phone bills. And I want you to call Richard. So get out your pen and write down this number. It's 800-914-8466. That's 800-914-8466. Yeah, call Richard Rider. He can get you the most fantastic deal for state-to-state phone calls. If you're calling your mom in New York or your dad in Florida and you're just getting eaten up by your phone bills, he has got less than 3 cents a minute. I know I personally use him for my toll-free phone number for my real estate business. Richard Rider cut my phone bill down so far, and he got me a great phone number that's easy to remember without having to pay an extra fee. I'm telling you, if you call Richard, he's going to save you some money on your phone bill. That's 800-914-8466. And Angela, before we come back on, I want to encourage those of you that are out there, if you would like to call in, our live call-in number is 646-915-9887. If you'd like to ask Angela a question about her experience as executive director, I know it's been sort of, for some strange reason, a hush-hush secret what happened and how it happened. So if you'd like to call Angela and ask her a question, or if you'd like to call me and straighten me out on something, I know people do that on a daily basis, it's 646-915-9887. And if you're using Richard Rider for your phone service, that's going to cost you about the same or less as a local call. So, Angela, let's talk about Aaron Starr. Before you really started working with Aaron, what was your impression of him? What did you think about Aaron?
I moved out to L.A., I had heard about this terrible bastard creature who had
from hell?
Taken over. Yes, bastard creature from hell who had taken over the Libertarian Party of California and must be stopped. And, of course, the things that I'd heard, my God, I said, if I have to move out there and put a stop to it myself, I will. Anyway, I ended up, after I moved out here.
We all thought you moved out here for love, but you actually moved out here to prevent the green evil monster,
yes,
Aaron Starr.
Yeah, I had to, I heard that he grew horns and things, so I had to put a stop to that immediately.
I thought I was the only one that had horns and a tail. Well, I'm glad to have some company. What kind of things did people tell you that was so bad about the guy?
That he was very vociferously pro-war was one.
Whatever that means.
This is not the right audience for that, but that he was very weak on most libertarian issues, and that he was actually a Republican plant.
Oh my gosh! I've had people say that, specifically one L.A. libertarian that pretty much didn't ever actually do much. Yeah, the Republican plant. Boy, that sounds like a buzzword. Was there one person in particular that said that? Are you willing to say where this came from?
Well, there was definitely someone in particular, but there were several other people who kind of just mimicked it. And of course, I'm as guilty as anyone else. I'm like most people. Conversation, people tell gossip, and I'm inclined to believe it, especially about certain things about the LP, because the Libertarian Party is a very sensitive subject for me. I grew up in the movement, and I've never really experienced life outside the libertarian. In certain ways, it's always been a part of my life, even when I've strayed far from activism. So it's touchy when someone says, we got a Republican plant in there. That's like saying someone's trying to break up the family. That's like having a heroin addict at home. I mean, that's something you got to put a stop to. So when people say those things and repeat them without questioning, like, well, what's the evidence here? Or getting to, and this is very unobjectivist of me, where I didn't use my own judgment coming in and evaluate the situation myself. When you're allowed to objectively,
you were misinformed about Aaron, you think, huh?
Well, I'm the ignorant one for not asking the right questions.
Now I promised our listeners you were going to name names. Who is this one particular person that really gave you the warning?
I'll start with Mark Seltzer, and I want to say, in fairness, I met Mark almost 4 years ago in Atlanta, and he lives a couple miles away from me in Hollywood, and he's someone whose company, in terms of punk rock or horror movies or weightlifting on many, many topics, I certainly can enjoy his company. And I certainly appreciate the work he does in Libertarian Alternative, but he did give me information that has not proven to be correct when it came to Mr. Starr.
Well, what, now that you actually got a chance to get to know Aaron, I mean, you spent a lot of time with him. I know you worked with him in the office and struggled to make things work and all that kind of good stuff. What's your opinion of Aaron now? What do you think of him?
Well, the truth?
Yeah, I want to know. Tell us. We said you're not going to pull any punches.
Okay. I found out that I was misinformed on several things about him, but he's a sweet, dear person who is very fair to others. He's extremely competent, by the way, and this is something that gets lost in all this. This guy actually knows what the hell
he's
doing.
What about his libertarian credentials? If Mark
he's
Zeldin
a libertarian
says,
since he was 16, and I know this because I got people to back it up, because I asked around, including people from other states, so how long have you heard of so-and-so? They said, he's been around forever, like a case of the clap kind
of. I got a caller that keeps coming back and losing, so let me have you hold that thought for a second.
Right.
We've got a California caller from a 909 area code, and let's see what this person has to say. Caller from California, let me welcome you to the show. Who are we speaking with from 909?
This is Don Patterson.
Well, Don Patterson, welcome to the show. Don is the treasurer of the the secretary of the Libertarian Party of Orange County, and he was also the secretary last year. He was my secretary when I was chair. Good afternoon, Don.
He's also an appointed office holder.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's a real live, doing real politics in his home city of Laguna Niguel, California. Welcome to the show, and what's your question, Don?
Well, I don't really have a question. I just wanted to publicly thank both of you for all the work that you've done for the Libertarian Party, all the hours that you put in. I met Angela at one of the executive meetings in Los Angeles last year, and again ran into her in San Diego in the executive meeting a couple months ago. So I know about the good work that she's been doing. And Bruce, I would publicly thank you, too, for your hundreds of hours that you put in last year while you were chairman of the Libertarian Party of Orange County.
Wow. That's very – thank you. Thank you very, very much. And, folks, this is unsolicited. I didn't know Don was calling in. Angela, did you slip him $20 or something?
No, but I really do appreciate Don. I appreciate doing actual elected office, appointed office holder work, because that's not easy.
Yeah, thanks, Don. I mean, it's really nice because so many people have the image of libertarians as being folks that just want to complain and never want to show up, and there you are working with the city council and supervisors and really moving the ball in a pro-freedom direction.
Well, Angela didn't slip me the $20. She owes me a pinup that I heard about.
All right. Well, Angela, you got an 8x10 that you need to send Don. And Don, it should be autographed too, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. But I would ask you a question, and that is what your opinion is of the Ron Paul story. And certainly 99% probability that he's not going to get a Republican nomination. But he's carrying a libertarian message, and I'm wondering if the Libertarian Party ought to think about picking him up as a nominee if he doesn't make it as a Republican nominee.
Angela, go ahead.
Well,
He's asking you.
All right. I've got to say that the excitement generated by Ron Paul, particularly of what it's done for young people, which the Libertarian Party is sorely lacking, we don't do enough in the way of bringing youth in. That part has been a wonderful, glorious thing, and I honestly really, I mean, I come from a different perspective than Bruce than this. I really enjoyed, Ron Paul correcting Mr. Giuliani on some matters, at least from my perspective anyway. So that was a wonderful moment for me. The question about, because I'm on the Libertarian National Committee, so I have to be very, very careful how I phrase this. That's a complicated question about how it is he would be approached and how he would be on, and whether it'd be worth it to him, and whether the LP can bring something to Ron Paul. Because remember, he's done this before. This wouldn't be his first time running, though this would be the first time, obviously, coming in with this kind of momentum. So it's an interesting question. But remember, though, as a member of the LNC, it's probably not best for me to speak about Republican candidates, even though we know he's not really a Republican. Even though I think the GOP can be angry and say, why did we allow this libertarian on the stage?
I wanted to throw some 2 cents in there, too, on this, Don. I really, really like Ron Paul as a person, as a congressperson, and as a libertarian. I appreciate the work he's done for us, and I hope that he succeeds. I really do hope that he does very, very well. On the downside, I think we all have to be really frank that the pool of libertarian donors is fairly limited and that it has stung a lot of people in the libertarian world, including the Libertarian Party national fundraising has been very difficult since the day he announced. And Ron, of course, has unfortunately, as much as I like him and as much as he and his staff have done for me in the past and been friends to me and friends to Eric Dondero, who also, they both like each other quite a bit as people, but he's not saying he's a libertarian. He's not describing himself as being of libertarian philosophy. And he's stated to his staff and to a lot of us that he's unwilling to accept a libertarian nomination, that he will run for Congress if he does not get the presidential nomination, that he wants his congressional seat back, and he is going to stay a Republican.
Well, I guess that pretty well answers that. I happened to be in Dallas 2 days ago and went over to Fort Worth, and I saw a lot of libertarians there with their banners and balloons supporting Ron Paul. And there's a lot of enthusiasm among young libertarians, but I can understand also why Ron Paul would want to get back in, stay in Congress, and I guess he's best able to do that with the Republican label.
Yeah, you know, that's why when I see somebody who I consider a libertarian friend and a true libertarian, like Larry Elder, who is definitely a big-picture libertarian, and I can only think of maybe one or two things that he might disagree with some libertarians on, which are pretty split issues anyhow. When he decided to become a Republican, sure, I was disappointed, but I have to understand that people go where they feel they can create the most influence in a libertarian direction, and so I'm not going to write Ron Paul off just because he's not going to accept our nomination and is definitely going to refuse to be drafted. He's a great guy, and he's doing it the best way he can. And there are Democrats, and there are Republicans, and there are independents who are very libertarian. And sure, I'd rather that they're registered libertarian and Libertarian Party members. But in the meantime, if they're teammates, they're teammates.
Well, at least Ron is a small L libertarian, and he's spreading the message. And a lot of people are learning what it's like to be a libertarian by listening to him and realizing that he's been our candidate in the past.
We hope. I wish he would say the word. I wish he would identify as a libertarian. And by the way, if you have any pictures, send them to me. I got some pictures from a few days ago in Chicago and of libertarians supporting Ron Paul. So it's certainly a wonderful grassroots movement, and we hope that somehow the LP can capture some of that momentum.
Very good. Very good. Well, good talking with both of you. A good show. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much, Don, and have a great day.
All right. Bye.
So, Angela, we have just about a minute and a half left before the bottom of the hour. You were saying that Aaron Starr actually doesn't have horns and a tail, and he actually has a halo. Is that where you were going?
He doesn't, but just really, really quickly, because I know, I'm sure, I'll be torn apart on this. You know, the Libertarian Party is not everything, and if I look at what Ron Paul is doing for the overall movement, in the long run, it's probably very good. In the short run, is there some problems with the LPS, and I'm really sorry that some of our Libertarian candidates for president are being silenced a bit because of the lack of fundraising, because they're not as able to raise money because that money is going to Ron Paul. So that's unfortunate because it's not allowing certain debates to develop and grow and allowing certain candidates to get the chance out there to prove that he or she can really be the nominee. But if I look at the larger movement, the amount of excitement that's generated, and Ron Paul is close enough, and he's the most successful libertarian politician to date. Is he perfect libertarian? No, not by my strict anarcho-capitalist standards. But he's much, much closer than anything else I've seen in a while. I mean, who's reached that level.
Is there anybody that's a perfect libertarian other than you?
There are some comrades of the first order.
So there's a spectrum of teammates that we definitely have and pay attention to, and I think that Brian Holtz is right that we need to be inclusive instead of exclusive, and that game of politics is won by addition, not by subtraction. I think that's certainly politics 101, and we all need to live by that. So we're at the bottom of the hour. I want to encourage anybody that would like to call in our live call-in number. Speak with Angela Keaton, the immediate past executive director of the Libertarian Party of California, one of the highest paid posts as a Libertarian in the country, in the world. And the live call-in number to talk to Angela is 646-915-9887. That's 646-915-9887. And I wanted to talk to you today about the Conservative Leadership Conference, which is definitely a small L and large L event. It's being held October 11th through the 13th. And I wanted you to know that the Libertarian Party, the National Libertarian Party, is one of the three major co-sponsors of the event. And we have some big small L and some big capital L Libertarians that are there at the event. We have former Congressman Bob Barr, who is going to be a speaker. And we have Wayne Root, my personal hope for the Libertarian nominee for president. I'm thinking that Ron Paul is not going to be nominated. But those two folks are going to be there. It's an amazing deal for 43 speakers, any one of which would be worth the price of admission. It's $200 for the three-day event, and that $200 includes the three evening events, including a margarita beach party, two formal banquets, award ceremonies. You've got to go to their website and check it out. It's clc07.com. It's sponsored by Town Hall. It's sponsored by Heritage Foundation. It's sponsored by the NRA and the National Taxpayers Union and FreedomWorks. It's a libertarian event where capital L and small L libertarians can meet and make friends and work together. It's sponsored by the Libertarian Party, and it's a bargain. Now, if you want to go to McDonald's and save a little bit of money and you only want to pay $100, if you just want to go to the 3 days' worth of events and you're not going to go to the evening events, well, I think you're missing out, but it's only $100. But for $100 more, you get to go to the party and the dinners and the banquets and really get up close and personal to some of the most important people in the American freedom movement, whether they're libertarians, Republicans, or independents. You want to go there and shake hands with congressmen, former congressmen, and real live libertarians. You've got to go to the Conservative Leadership Conference. Registration information is right there on the internet. It's easy. Sign up with your credit card or call them up. It's clc07.com. The Conservative Leadership Conference coming up early October. Do not. I'm telling you, don't miss out on this one. It's really going to be a big deal. Angela?
I'm thinking about going, actually.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you are. Well, I will see you there. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of our friends there,
yes.
People we know and care about and like and respect.
And well, yeah.
Maybe a few people we don't like and don't respect, too.
And I want to say one of my favorite organizations is probably going to have a table out there, Outright Libertarians, bringing libertarianism to the gay community, which Outright Libertarians is part of a general ideological slant near and dear to my heart. In the early 90s, in addition, before Waco, my life before Waco, I was obsessed with free speech and GBTL issues. So,
well, I think that's an important facet, and I've always been confused why that community wasn't more libertarian, since in my biased perspective on the world, I felt that that offered them a much better solution than the liberal solution that they tended to embrace. I'm really happy with their results and their perspective. Also, what's very interesting is the Jewish libertarian community is starting to walk away from the Democratic Party and become more and more libertarian and leaving the Democratic Party, partly to become libertarian Republicans and partly to become libertarian libertarians, which we, of course, like a lot better. So let's go back and talk about your experiences within the Libertarian Party now.
You do not have horns. I want to just, and this is a chance for me to publicly apologize, and hopefully this will
apologize for what?
I haven't always been fair to you in the past. I have snapped at you, and I've joined sometimes the Get Bruce course. That's your website is Get Bruce.
Oh, well, actually, it was the I Hate Bruce Club is the formal term of it, and that's interesting that you mentioned Mr. Selzer, because he's the founding. He's the founder of the I Hate Bruce Club and the managing director of it. So,
it's a shame. It's interesting. It's a shame that you two had differences. It's unfortunate because, you know, he does a really good show and you do so much. Well, you actually do everything from fundraising to you're willing to get out and talk to people where most libertarians are such sheltered introverts.
All right, enough about me. Let's talk about you. This show's about you. People hear too much about me. I'm pretty much out there, and I guess you could take that either way. But when you were executive director, you sort of had an eye opener. It sounds like that the some people who made a lot of noise didn't really want to actually contribute. Is that the feeling?
I'll be particularly blunt about this because I want to be fair to everyone involved, but I want to be honest too. Because I was obsessed with I was part of the original Get Aaron Starr posse, you know, where we had to string Aaron up by his toes, I very foolishly allowed myself to...
Or worse, it wasn't just the toes we were hearing people talk about.
Well, I'm trying to keep this clean. This is a family show.
G-rated.
Yeah. Because I wasn't thinking, you know, really sensibly, and I was thinking more emotionally instead of rationally, I let myself be convinced that a new group with fresh energy and fresh ideas might be better, but what I didn't ask myself is, do these people have any of the basic administrative skills, which they did not. And there are a few people who are now currently, there's one or two people who are currently officers now in the LPC who do have some really strong volunteer skills, and they have some skills that might be useful to a good ED, a good office. The current executive committee, and while there's some wonderful people on it and some really good experienced people, we don't have a lot of people with nonprofit experience, and I mean either as working in an administration, working as an office, just working in having an ordinary office job, which a lot of us had to have along the way while we were pursuing our larger
right.
careers.
Now, you heard me from the beginning, even before you were executive director, say that when we elected or appointed or hired somebody, that there really were only three things that counted. There was their skills, their experience, and their temperament. And I ranked temperament the highest because, you know, you can get somebody experience and you can teach somebody skills, but those were really the only three qualities. And to me, to be worried about their exact opinion on a certain issue was counterproductive. I just wanted to focus on those three things, skills, experience, and their temperament. And, I think that you were sort of looking at me funny when I first said that to you. Do you agree more on that now?
I always did agree with it. I mean, the problem was I had certain prejudices about you, and I had certain prejudices about the LP that were blinding me to what... I mean, I had nonprofit experience before, and this is the way it's currently structured. It doesn't have to be structured that way. There are different ways these things can be structured, but...
Now, you're saying all these nice things about me and about Aaron and other people. Some people are going to say that this is maybe sort of sour grapes and you're bitter about being fired.
Well, let me put it this way. I've been extremely fair to my former boss in public, and I've been fair to people who have wronged me a great deal, and I have not made a huge thing. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Bruce, and this is not a knock to the state party, but being executive director, while it's important in some sense, it really doesn't do very much. It was not a progressive move for my resume. It was more of a step back and a step away from things I actually have been working on and a step apart from my actual career.
It's a
career.
Tough job.
It
tends to be fairly thankless. I know that
yes.
Dave Ruprecht worked really hard and didn't get a lot of appreciation, and the
yeah.
pay is low and the benefits are,
but, I mean, it's
are
more,
nil.
It's the Libertarian Party of California. I mean, it's not a key. It's not the most important thing I've ever done. It's a real step back in some ways. And honestly, I was saying this earlier about when you take people from a very narrow subculture, which is the computer technology segment, you're not getting people who have experiences that they really need to bring to the ordinary practical functions of a political party or even that of an office. I mean, there's certain very basic functions that people lose sight of. I don't have people who've ever been on in the nonprofit world called a board of directors. They've never served on one, so they don't know what their responsibilities are. I don't have.
Now we've got 6 minutes to the break, so I want to sort of step back to something we mentioned where I talked about you getting fired.
Mm-hmm.
Now the actual leadership, the current chair and treasurer of the Libertarian Party, from what I've seen them write and from what I've heard secondhand, they tried for a long time to maintain that you quit, and there was even an email that was circulated by the current chair stating, and I'm recalling from memory, I'm not quoting, but essentially that you had left for greener pastures, that you had left to seek better opportunities. What's the truth? Did you quit or were you fired? What happened?
Neither, actually. I was forced into a position because, I mean, the fact is the way this, according to our bylaws, the chair is CEO and only he can do the firing. Unfortunately, there was a conflict. He did not fire me. No. Actually, the treasurer, and I think in a hostile, aggressive act, which I find amusing that libertarians will tolerate behavior that they would never tolerate. They'll tolerate behavior from each other, they never tolerate from statists. And suddenly, libertarians are some who will claim to be the most pragmatic.
Some people are more equal than others. Are you telling me that they're being...
Well, there's lots of complicated responses to this, but I mean, I'm fully willing to tell people what happened. And I have, told people who have asked me out, or just I've been very straightforward in sort of a bloodless way. There's a couple descriptions I've written. This is what happened. You know, take it or leave it. Because people obviously kept asking, and it was annoying because it's difficult to have to talk about what led up to it because a lot of people really don't have any idea what goes on in administrative office. They don't know how the rules work. They don't know how.
I did write a little bit of a blog article about the firing called "The Libertarian Angel Gets Her Wings." You were the Libertarian Angel that I was describing in that. If our listeners do want to see that article, they can see the link to it from my website at getbruce.com, and they can read my comments where I really tried to be very, very nice and diplomatic. I had a lot of stronger feelings, but wanted to be as gentle as possible about that. But yeah, my impression too was it was pretty darn unfair and unpleasant how that went down. So what? We talked about the past chair, Aaron Starr. What about the current chair? Did your opinion? You knew this person beforehand, Now he was supposed to fire you, but he didn't fire you. Well, maybe you could tell us
really
the transition.
Quite honestly, no one knows. And given and let's say this, I hope very much the best for Kevin Takanaga's future. I think if he makes certain adjustments.
I was trying not to mention his name, but that is the current chair.
Yeah, it is the current chair, and I do wish him well in life. While there's no love lost, there's no room for hate either. I don't have any time for that, but.
What about the big three, skills, experience, temperament? What, from your experience with working with him?
He's relatively young, and even he's actually young even by my standards. He's, 30, 31, but has not had sufficient experience with this kind of work, frankly. I mean, he's been a computer consultant.
We have people that age and younger managing multimillion-dollar corporations with hundreds of people. Is age an excuse?
They've had experience, though, along the way that has led to them to that point. This is the problem with several people who want to be in charge in the LP. When your experience is limited to a cubicle, when your experience is limited to discussions, a 10-year-old discussions of Linux, that's not good experience for much else in the world. I mean, these people tend to be extremely intelligent in a very narrow way. My mother was a testing and measurement specialist in areas of evaluating people for different special ed programs. So I had to listen to a lot of this growing up. But, yes, it's true that we have a lot of very intelligent people in the LP, but it tends to be too narrow for some real world use.
Is there anybody out of the 15 people, the 5 officers and the 10 other board members that you felt were competent and were helpful to you when you were trying to hold it
together? There were some people who were competent and helpful, but they really weren't in a position because we have certain things structured. I mean, I answer to the chair, which is the way it's supposed to work. However, it was becoming a situation where I was answering to the treasurer who, and this is, I say this to people and they laugh, but it's the rich white guy syndrome. In the LP, people who haven't been around very much are easily impressed. I mean, there's a lot of very, very parochial, provincial, backward people in the LP. As intelligent as they are and as accomplished as they are, they're really people who have not really seen much of the world. So, this man's made a few dollars in his life. He must have a lot of experience to offer. Well, I live in L.A. I can throw a rock out my window and hit a rich white guy. It's not that interesting. It doesn't distinguish you from anything else. There's sexy women in West Hollywood where I live. They're a dime a dozen. It's not a distinguishing or interesting characteristic. So I led myself to believe, and here's once again my ignorance and my blinders, because I wanted something more ideologically correct to representing on the executive committee, where I didn't ask the right questions, where, do you have accounting experience? Well, obviously this person didn't.
Let's hold that thought for a second here. We're up on our final break, And I wanted to let you all know that this show is from Eric Dondero, one of the hardest working real world libertarians. Yes, he's a registered Republican. Yes, I disagree with him, and I'm not a big fan of Rudy Giuliani, but I understand why he is. But Eric has done a tremendous amount for the libertarian movement. He certainly deserves the title, the Matt Drudge of the libertarian movement, because he's the one who scoops everybody and gets the big libertarian news before anybody else. When a libertarian's elected to city council in West Elbow, Arkansas, boy, Eric is there, and he flies out and shakes the guy's hand. I don't know how he pays for it. Right now, he just came out to Southern California, and he's with me here at the Balboa Bay Club on the Balboa Bay. We're watching the boats go by, and it's an amazing day, and we're going to be doing petitioning for some very, very libertarian issues. And I can tell you what, Eric can make a lot more money staying at home working at a real job, but he loves doing this, and he wants to move the ball in a libertarian direction. And I'm telling you, mainstreamlibertarian.com, if you want to be up on the news of the day and get the libertarian news before it's available anywhere else, that's where I go. Every day, first thing, I go to mainstreamlibertarian.com, and you can also go click to his blog from there. Also, Angela, you've got, is it just the two websites that I plugged before?
Yes, I'm not doing any. There's no more. It took all the adult websites down. I had too
oh,
much.
Oh, please.
Time, too
we know that your mother wouldn't allow that.
Right,
Angela
exactly.
Keaton. Angela Keaton does look really cute in her black cocktail dress. And if you go to her websites, liberatedspace.com and angelakeaton.com, you can understand why Brian Holtz thinks she's the cutest libertarian around. Now, I've got a couple other girls on my top 10 libertarian calendar girls, and including Aaron Starr's girlfriend, Kate O'Brien. So
yes.
How about Kate? Was Kate helpful to you?
Well, she's a wonderful person.
You know, and Kate has actually been elected to a multi-million dollar budgeted post that has more responsibility and a bigger budget than most cities. She's won several times, the last time in a huge landslide against a well-funded Republican.
Well, she's
so,
a natural extrovert, which we lack in the party. I mean, she's a natural extrovert. The thing is, though, I mean, the LP will run candidates who are so introverted that they're not trainable. You know, I know I'm profoundly introverted, which is why I would never make a good candidate. I don't want to talk to people. I don't even want to talk to my friends or family most of the time, so why do I want to talk to a total stranger? But someone like Kate is just natural, and I've seen her out in public, and she's just naturally open and friendly without being affected or insincere. And that's a very, very good quality. It's a rare quality in people anyway, but when you get someone in the LP who can do that and can run for office several times like she has and win, you know, you got to hold on to that one.
Now, when Aaron and I were very active and both on the team running the Libertarian Party of California, we had that problem quite a bit with different board members who would sort of take their ball and go home and not return phone calls and delete things and mess things up. How did you find that most people return your calls or help you when you ask them for help? Or
there are several actually really, I mean, this executive committee in theory has the potential to actually really do something. However, the way things are organized now and given the current leadership, and ultimately it is Kevin's responsibility to steer this, I don't think everyone's being utilized properly. It's run too much by the same kind of insider clackishness that we complained about.
Now that you mentioned that, well, it's Kevin's job to hire and fire.
Right.
But and he was the one who decided to fire you. But why didn't he do it?
We don't really know. The thing is, a lot of this is unknown because a lot of this was written in retrospect. The last few weeks I was in the job, what happened was, and this is kind of important to understand what had happened. I had to get a new database and new accounting software because everything we were using was basically outdated and inappropriate.
Kevin's been working on that for a couple of years. I mean, what happened to that? It doesn't work?
Bruce, and this is something I say across the board to every single human being. You should never use homemade software applications when dealing with the LP. It is inappropriate to have volunteers, A, have a proprietary interest in any software, B, it allows for people to violate confidentiality. Passwords have to be restricted to staff. It's inappropriate to have people.
Yeah, there was some misuse of the database, as it were, there under your
yes, there was.
You were executive director,
okay.
and
problem.
isn't and you you came out and said you wouldn't have any part of it. So that's we're kind of proud of you for that. That's very interesting.
No,
do you think that had something to do with your firing?
Probably, but the thing is, though, morally, though, I don't have clean hands. I should have been, from the start, very outspoken and said I should have been clear and allowed everyone involved, including you, to know what was happening. And I was trying to keep it quiet to avoid typical libertarian drama, but here's where my silence made me complicit because I did not say certain things. Of course, once what had happened was normally in nonprofits, only the staff has access data.
So here we have several officers
by
far and away the largest libertarian state organization in the country.
It's not done. This
actually
is unheard
cheating
of.
And violating bylaws and keeping it all hush-hush. And they're the people who've been for so many years screaming about privacy and transparency and playing by the rules and accusing people like Aaron of cheating and biasing things in their favor. That's pretty darn interesting how the shoe ends up on the interesting foot, or people who live in glass houses already having thrown stones way too early. That's very interesting.
Well, I mean, part of that was my fault. I mean, I take full responsibility for...
From what I've heard, that you refused to be a participant and that you would have nothing to do with it and tried to stop it. So if somebody else cheated and you weren't quite ready to be the whistleblower, then... I don't know that I can fault you for that, since you weren't an active participant. And frankly, if you tried to stop it, I think that's okay. So what's in the future for you? What about your radio show? Are you going to do that again?
No, I mean I used to be a station manager for a rather infamous, and if you Google a 91.7 FM KOOP, you'll find any number of lawsuits and physical confrontations and fake funerals for the station. The wonderful 91.7 FM. I've been doing some kind of radio ever since I've been in college when I was a little kid. I was playing fake DJ. One of my earliest memories is as a child playing fake DJ and then playing reporter with my really old-fashioned analog tape recorder set. So, I mean, I've been doing some form, I was an AV geek and so on. All throughout, and I've done pirate radio, and which we're not supposed to call it anymore. I mean, community broadcast, excuse me. But
met you would ever believe that you were a geek.
I was not that kind of geek. I just was kind of technical, and I think that we've used that term. No, I'm really very anti-geek, and this is one of my problems with the LP, is that I'm anti-geek and anti-nerd, and I clash too much with the normal Libertarian Party member. And I adore Libertarian men. That's basically what we're talking about here. It's an overwhelming membership is male. And I adore them in certain ways. But that level of geekery and nerdishness, it does frighten off the most important element, which we need are females, and we need women in the party. And
yeah, it's really interesting. We've been chasing girls off for a year, and then we chased you off, and we certainly hope that you stay involved in the movement. You are an elected member at the national level, and you're still participating there. And
raising money and making a general pest of myself up there.
Now, isn't that interesting? You were able to raise money just fine at the national level, but under the current chair, I guess the California Libertarian Party of California is in pretty deep financial trouble, as I understand that.
Well, they will be. Of course, they didn't. This is a part of not listening, because Angela, this is like not listening to Aunt Angela's advice. I actually had experience, so I actually had something to say on the matter, generally ignored, in fact, mostly ignored. But here's sort of the problem. If I were to be the chief fundraiser, considering we had lost all volunteers and staff and we couldn't really afford very much more than what we had, just one day a week, our former intern, which I made our office manager to hold on to her a little longer, to come in, I can't do everything. I had to triage and make priorities. And given that I was doing all these database transfers and doing a lot of technical work that really had been abandoned during the period that Dave Ruprecht was rightfully in Atlantic City. And,
how could it be abandoned? We had our current chair on assignment for a couple of years to do that whole project. That's just so amazing.
I'm not
going to
argue
on
whether Kevin's database was good. What I'm going to say is this. It wasn't appropriate in the first place to allow him to do that. What should have been done was you buy a commercial database. And it's unacceptable to me. And this is just I just refuse to have any part of it in the LP, homemade software applications. You cannot have people have proprietary interests. You can't have random, whoever the hell wants access to a database have database. Besides, if you're serious about fundraising and you're really serious about having an office, you have to have professional level software that can handle fundraising materials, which is
that's the interesting thing.
Have.
You said anybody who wants to. So, and now as I understand it, and I've gotten this from a lot of people, there were people that were given access to the database that weren't entitled to it according to the bylaws, and even at least one individual who was not a Libertarian Party member at the time given for to influence a certain election.
And people have apologized to me, too. So, I mean, I wanted to be fair. People did apologize to me, but I wasn't really the person who needed to be apologized to. I was angry and outraged that the ethical question was not understood immediately, that I had to explain the ethics behind
it. You're not okay with cheating to influence things. You don't think that the end necessarily justifies the mean, huh?
Of course not. I mean, if I'm a natural law Rothbardian and I really do believe in the ideas of Mises and Rand, all those freaks, then I have to understand
like
the certain moral underpinning of, I mean, and granted, I fall short of the glory of Murray Rothbard every day, and I admit that. I am less of the anarch. I mean, there's much in my moral development to really make me the person who can live in anarchotopia, so I'm in no way excusing, you know, my shortcomings. But you have to understand, you have to think ethically about your behavior when you're dealing with the party members. And they're supposed to be your, you know, the family, right? They're supposed to be your comrades. But also, too, I mean, just for your own moral sensibilities, if you want to be considered, I'd rather be considered a person who's honest than a person who's lovable.
So we have a problem with the current situation and some of the officers being willing. What about your impressions? Now, you got to work with two people. What did you think about Aaron? Did you think that he followed the rules and was fair?
I was stunned. As one of my friends in kind of the GBTL world said, Aaron's been unfairly demonized. He's extremely fair. Now, do I always approve of some of the stances he takes? No, and I tell him straightforward. And he and I clash on the LNC every single meeting. Aaron and I do not agree on usually a single
But you leave friends and go have a beer together, right?
Well, we're fundraising partners, so we're forced to interact with each other, which is rather unusual given that we have almost no common interest other than being carbon-based life forms.
Both libertarians.
We're both libertarians.
You both want to move the ball in a positive direction, and you both have fun together and like each other and say good things about each other. So that's plenty in common as far as I'm concerned. He doesn't have to be an AV geek to be your best friend, you know?
No. But it's just like, you know, Aaron and I regularly clash on the LNC. We just have very different visions for what's progress. So it's not, you know, I mean, understand, though, I mean, I look at someone's ethical behavior, and I look at, you know, I can try to see the whole person. I mean, I'm not always crazy about certain people's choices of friends and associates, but I can look past that and see the whole person and say, okay, this person has value. This person is very competent. But I've done the same thing to Kevin. I see the great. There's some real potential there for certain things. It's just not right now. I didn't ask myself.
Angela, it's clear that an hour wasn't enough. I've got a couple minutes left. Let me see if I've got a second left for you. I wanted to thank all of our guests and everybody that's going to listen to this later on our podcast, where it's archived. We are talking to you from the beautiful Balboa Bay Club in Newport Beach, California, here on the water. And you're welcome to come by and visit us for dinner during the live show, which is exactly where we're going to be next Wednesday, same place, same time. Come on down to the Balboa Bay Club and have a very expensive and wonderful hamburger with us and see the sailboats and powerboats going by. I wanted to remind our listeners that we're going to have a very, very controversial guest next time, probably one of the, if not the biggest celebrity that's ever been on Eric Dondero's show, Libertarian Politics Live. We are going to really actually have Jim Gilchrist, who has many times called himself a small libertarian and even considered joining the Libertarian Party. Jim Gilchrist, the founder and president of the Minuteman Project, jimgilchrist.com, minutemanproject.com, is going to be our guest next week, 6 o'clock Pacific, 8 Central, 9 Eastern Time. Jim's going to be our guest. He's going to talk about the illegal immigration problem from his perspective. I know that there's a big discussion within the Libertarian Party how to handle it. And we thank you for being here on Blog Talk Radio. Make sure to go to mainstreamlibertarian.com. Visit Angela Keaton's website. I'm at getbruce.com. And if you haven't run out of ink by now, I just wanted to give your pen a rest. And Angela, it's been great having you. You've been a great friend to every libertarian, and we really appreciate everything that you've done. We hope that you can forget this rough time, this difficult experience, and continue to be a successful libertarian activist. Thank you very much for everything you do, and I'm going to give the last 25 seconds to you, Angela.
All right. Just my last words are, if we don't start aiming for a certain kind of diversity, racially, sexually, and intellectually in the LP, we're doomed. It can't be the same white male programmers if we're going to grow. There you go.
Angela, the show's over. Thank you very much.
Okay.
What a beautiful close to the show. I really, really appreciate it. You're a wonderful guest, and we managed to name names, but just barely in a really gentle fashion. I think it's going to be very hard for anybody to complain that